1 Timothy chapter 3 tonight, please. And tonight we will continue a message that we started some weeks ago, and that is the biblical deacon. We looked at the first point of a three-point outline last time we looked at this, the biblical deacon. We looked at the requirements of the deacon. And we saw four things about the requirements of the deacon. First of all, the personal requirements. And we saw the fact that he had to be saved. We saw that he had to be spiritual. We saw that he had to be sober. We saw that it had to be seasoned, and we looked at a number of things in conjunction with that. But the personal requirements, now coupled with the personal requirements, we saw that he had to have a proper public reputation, a public reputation, a proper one. Then we saw that he must have partner reliability. He had to be the right kind of husband to his mate. And then we saw, number four, that he had to have the right parental responsibilities. He had to be the right kind of father. His children had to be the right kind of children. They had to be controlled and controlled properly. So those four areas are the requirement: personal requirements, public reputation, partner reliability, and parental responsibility had four areas which fell under the requirement of the deacon. Tonight I want to look at two other areas. I want to look at what I call the responsibilities of the deacon. And then I want, three areas tonight. We want to look at the responsibilities of the deacon, the results of a deacon, and the rewards of a deacon. But first of all, what we call the responsibilities of a deacon. Look back with me in chapter number 3. We'll begin reading again in verse number 8 and read down through verse number 13. Verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you remembered last time when we looked at the requirements, I gave you that the word that's translated deacons used some 106 times in our Bible, but only just a few of those times is it making a direct reference to the office of a deacon. We pointed out all the different ways in which this word is translated, from the word serve to the word minister, to the word ministering, to the word servant, to the word service, to the word administration, to ministration, and then, of course, deacon. All these ways that it's translated, I think, gives us an idea that really can sum up in one simple point under the responsibilities of a deacon, and that is service. That's the responsibility of a deacon, wrapped up in a nutshell. Service. You say, how? Yes, it's service. We can add any responsibility, basically, that we want to as a church to that, I'm sure. But the idea is one of service. That's the basic meaning of the word. Go back to verse number 10. We'll look at an idea here in verse number 10, verse number 13. And I'll also look at that again in a few minutes when we look at the results. But here in verse number 10, it says, and let these also first be proved. Then it says, let them use the office of a deacon. That little phrase, then let them use, is a translation from the word where we get deacon. It's a play on words, right? Let them use, let them serve. It's like one old pastor I heard years ago, it says, let them deke. Let them deke in the office of a deacon. In other words, let them do what a deacon is supposed to do. And again, what is that? It means service. And this let them use literally means to be at one's service, to serve or wait upon. Notice also verse number 13. For they that have used the office. Now there, that little phrase there again. They that have used, same word that's in verse number 10, let them use. In verse number 10, it's an imperative, it's a command. Here, it's a present tense word, just they that have used the office of a deacon. Now again, it means to be an attendant, to do service, to serve, to wait upon someone. And notice here in verse number 13, and they that have used the office of the deacon well. That word well there is an adverb, and it's modifying the word used. Used well, the office of a deacon. In other words, he has served in his official capacity well. And it's that individual. Then it goes on and tells us what is the result of that. The deacon that has used that position and he's done it well. He's used it well. And so again, it's one of service. The deacon is a servant of the Lord for the people of this congregation. That's what a deacon is. A servant of the Lord for the people of this congregation. And according to Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 3, the deacon is a servant of the people of this congregation under the authority of the pastor. They said there in verse 3 of chapter 6, the apostles did, and they were functioning in that capacity as pastors that we may appoint over this business. The business that was necessary in Acts chapter 6, and we'll go back over there in a little bit and look at some other things, but they were to serve. Now, yes, in the process of the serving, they were to be examples of the faith. Yes, they were to solve the problems that were taking place. And all the other things that we looked at last time when we looked at the requirements for the deacon, how they were to be separated from the world. They were, again, to be saved and sober and spiritual and separate, all those things. They are to, again, be a servant to this local church. Now, in being a servant to this local church, they are a servant to the pastor. I mean, they are to be a pastoral helper. And that was the reason why that the situation with deacons there in Acts chapter 6 came up, because the pastors needed their help. The pastors, of course, we could go there and see that they didn't want to leave the Word of God to serve tables. They wanted to take their time and use it for prayer and the study of God's Word. So the deacons came in to be in basically for the purpose of a pastoral helper. Then, of course, in that process, they were to be a promoter of harmony. Of course, there in the first few verses of Acts, you saw that the widows were being neglected in the daily ministration of the aid that they received. And there was a divisiveness that came in. And the deacons not only were to be pastoral helpers, but they were to go in and promote harmony when there was problems. From that, then, there would be a third thing that we could look at. They were to be problem healers. If a problem came up, whatever it was, they were to try to heal that problem the best they could. And of course, now this one's not in the text, but I think it's a logical conclusion. They were to be pillars of humility. In other words, they were to be the examples in the local church of leadership. People were to be able to look to them and draw from their leadership. And therefore, if they were not humble, they were not going to be a pillar of example to look to, but they were to be pillars of humility. And now, as a helper, as one that's going to promote harmony, as one that's going to heal a problem, one that's going to be humble in his demeanor, he would be able to really work and should be able to work in fostering fellowship and friendship within the local church. I've been a deacon in two other churches, and I soon learned that people would talk to me as a deacon at times when they wouldn't talk to the pastor. And I know that's true of you as well. You're going to talk to your deacon sometime when you won't talk to me. You're going to call them and talk to them about things that you don't call and talk to me. Maybe it's because you know that they're going to turn around and talk to me. Whatever the reason is, it happens. And I understand that and I know that. And deacons are to promote that type of fellowship among people and friendship among people. They are to be the faithful individual that's going to pray and visit. Pray for me, pray for you. Visit me, visit you. That's the deacons. They, by all means, are going to be advisors, financial advisors to the things that this church decides to do. Every year when we present a budget to you, the deacons have more to do with that budget than I do. They talk over a whole lot more than I do. And there's many things, of course, that I leave with them to figure and to decide. But they're financial advisors. They're also family assistants when people of this church need things. The deacons help take care of many of those things. So when it comes to the responsibilities of the deacons, it's service. It's service in whatever kind of area that's necessary. I served under one pastor. It seemed like when it came to anything that needed to be done, he called me and said, Frank, I need this done. And that's basically all he would say. He said, Frank, I need this done. And he left it with me to get done. At that point in time, I was the chairman of the deacons in the church, and so I'd call another man. I said, I need your help. I'd call another one, call all of them. The pastor wants this done. We need to get it done. Servants. servants is the responsibility of the deacon. Look with me, please. Go back and put a finger here in Timothy. We'll come back to, but go over to Acts chapter 6. Let's look here a couple of verses, and I want to see five things here in chapter number 6, the results of a deacon. The results of a deacon. Notice, first of all, verse number 7. First of all, verse number 7. Now, we'll go back to verses 1 through 3, but verse number 7, and we're going to look at two things. Then we'll look at verse 2 and verse 4 and quickly draw some things out. Verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, here in verse number 7 is a verse that takes place after the deacons were placed. Verse 6, notice it says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they had laid their hands on them. In verse number 6, you find the apostles praying, in other words, appointing them to the business that they were to fulfill there is taking care of things. In verse number 7, you have a verse that takes place after that was done. So the first thing that I see in verse number 7, the results of the deacon, is first of all, the reproduction of principle. Notice it says, the word of God increased. Now this, there's two words in verse number 7 that mean a whole lot alike here. And the first one is the word increased. It means to cause to become greater in extent or size, to become greater in quality, to grow or to increase. And here, it's talking about the word of God. So that's the reason why my point, the reproduction of principle. God's word is principle. And here we see this reproducing or actually expanding. It's like taking one object and then that object growing in influence or ability or power. That's the idea of this first thing where the word of God increased. Now, that's a wonderful result of having deacons, that the word of God increased. And the idea behind this increased, it was continuously increasing. This is a continuous action word here in the past. So the word of God was on a regular basis increasing. It not that it just increased one time and stopped. No, it was on a continuous basis increasing the principle of God's word in people's thinking, people's mind. The word of God just became greater in extent, greater in power, greater in quality in people's thinking because of the deacons. Now, I find that interesting. It hadn't taken place up in this point from the apostles' standpoint. But you bring seven men in that's considered to be deacons and are settling problems and full of the Spirit of God and full of faith, you see that the word of God increased. That's interesting to me, but nonetheless, we see that that is a result of the deacon. The second thing in verse number 7 says, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Now, here's the word multiplied. It's first cousin to the word increased. The only difference is, not only does it mean to grow and increase as well, but it means to increase in number, where the reproduction of principle was one of expansion. This one is one of exponential growth, multiplication. It's an increase in number. So we see not only the reproduction of principle, but number two, we see the redemption of people. The redemption of people. The result of godly deacons in verse number 7, the number of the disciples multiplied. Not just, they didn't just get saved, but they decided to follow Christ. Now, we see people saved. I'd say most churches see people saved, but seeing those people come back again is difficult. You know, finding someone that, yes, I got saved, now I want to follow Christ. That's the disciple. And here, because it wasn't just the redemption of people, it was the disciple, the follower, someone that wanted to turn out just like Christ. You know, wanted to follow Christ and everything that Christ taught and what the apostles and the deacons here were teaching. They wanted to grow in that way as well. So we see here the reproduction of principle. We see the redemption of people. Then go back over to verse number 1 through verse number 3. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians with the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. We pointed out last time the word ministration was the same word that's translated deacon. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And here in verses 1 through 3, I see the result of a deacon as the resolution of problems. Here clearly we saw problems in verses 1 through 3. But when the deacons came in and they were appointed to this problem, it's an understood statement in this passage that the problem was solved. The problem was taken care of. These Grecian ladies no longer were murmuring. Why? They were taken care of. So the third result of a deacon is not only the reproduction of principle and the redemption of people, but the resolution of problems. It's not good, and I've seen this in churches, it's not good when the deacons that are to be the servants that's supposed to resolve the problems are the problems. That's not good. And I think almost any pastor that's pastored any length of time would tell you that they've been in a situation where the deacon was the problem. Now, I can honestly say this from this pulpit, that's not been so at this church. I've not had a deacon that was a problem here. And I thank God for that. But here, when a deacon is not the problem, then he can resolve a problem. But if he is a problem, he's just helping the problem and he's not going to resolve it. But anyway, we see here in this passage that's the result of a deacon, is to resolve the problems. Notice verse number 2 again, please. It says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Now again, the 12 here at this point in time were doing the work of a pastor. They were preaching the word of God. They were ministering to these people that way. And it said, it's not reason that we should leave this. Now you say 12 men doing the work of the pastor. Yeah, there was probably at this point in time at least 25,000 believers in the city of Jerusalem. That would be a pretty good handful for 12 men. How many churches do you know in the States where 12 pastors have 25,000 people? Not many. But nonetheless, my point in verse number 2 is another result of the teacher is to relieve the pastor. To relieve the pastor of many of the menial things that he really doesn't need to be doing because he does have responsibility to be in the Word of God and studying it and praying and seeking God's leadership for direction in the feeding of the Word of God. And here in verse number 2, it plainly points that out. So we see another result of the deacon is the relief for the pastor. If the deacon is truly fulfilling his responsibility, he then will be relieving the pastor of many of those things. Notice also verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There again, pointing out the relief for the pastor that the deacon is to bring if he is fulfilling his responsibility. Now, we've seen four good things here. Four good things that the result of the deacon will take place in the local church. However, we could go over to verse number 9 through verse number 15 and we could see another truth of the result of the deacon, of the godly deacon. The deacon that's doing what he's supposed to be, there will be resulting persecution. Now, I'm not going to take time to go through verse number 9 through verse number 15, but as you read that, you'll see the result of these deacons fulfilling their godly position in the four things that I see here that would be the result. A resultant of that would be persecution. People didn't like that. People didn't like that there was people being saved. They didn't like it that the Word of God's authority was being magnified in people's eyes. They did not like that problems were being solved. They didn't like it that the pastors had more time to pray and study. They didn't like it. And you see there in verse 9 through 15 and that people lied and deceived and schemed in order to create problems for these deacons that had brought such a great blessing into the local church there in the city of Jerusalem. But the results of the deacon is to be good things for the body of Christ. And the first four that I gave you is something that took place within the body itself. Of course, the fifth one is something that took place outside the body. The unbelieving Jews stirred up people and got and bribed men to tell lies and blast and say that these men were doing wickedness when, of course, they weren't. But that will be the result. In any local church where God is really lifted up and the Word of God is really preached and people start getting saved and things start changing, somebody's going to spread a lie about that church. You can almost guarantee it. And here we see that that's what took place. So we see the requirements of the biblical deacon. We see the responsibilities of the biblical deacon. We see the results of the biblical deacon. Go with me, please, back to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We see the rewards of a biblical deacon. The rewards. Two thoughts here when we see the rewards of the biblical deacon. Go back with me, please, to verse number 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree. First thing I want you to see in the rewards of a deacon is what I call the conclusion of position. The conclusion of position. The word purchase here means to acquire or to obtain or to secure or to gain or to preserve. Now, this is a present tense word, and this is a continuous action thing. And it depends on how the deacon is fulfilling his responsibility if this will be true. Now, verse number, it says, and they, the deacon that has fulfilled his responsibility, they that have used the office of a deacon well, or in a good manner, is what the word well there means, in a good manner. They purchase. They are the ones that continuously have acquired or have obtained or have gained. Gained what? Notice it says, to themselves. Now this is an individual type of thing. However, it can be a collective type thing. Many times the church will look at the group of deacons and refer to the deacons as someone that have used the office well. Many times, however, it's individually. Well, he has done this, or he has done that, he has done this, and it's accounted as from a faithful standpoint. And I think most of you as a congregation will view that faithfulness. You do it without even thinking about it. You calculate faithfulness. You will do it. If you have a deacon and you don't see him on a regular basis, you will automatically calculate unfaithfulness in your mind. You'll see it and you'll know it. You'll evaluate it. And the man has used that office well in a good manner. He acquires, he gains to himself what? Notice what it says. A good degree or a good position, a good rank, a good grade. It literally is carrying the idea of a foundation, a place to stand. And that's my point here, the conclusion of position. You will make a conclusion that he is worthy of this degree. He's worthy of this position. He's worthy of this rank, this place of respect. And when we conclude, now notice I said when we conclude, not just you conclude, but we conclude. I conclude, Brother Nathan concludes. There'll be a couple of things that takes place. First of all, there will be a compliment from the people and from the pastor. One of the most godliest men I've ever known was a deacon. He wasn't a pastor. He was a deacon. His name was Broadus Hames. He was one of the godliest men I've ever known. One of the kindest men I've ever known. One of the most humble men I've ever known. He taught this preacher much. Much. As a young preacher, more than once, he's run his arm around me and simply would make a statement like this. Preacher, you ever thought about this? And as a young man, never entered my mind what he was saying. But as a deacon that had been a deacon for 30-something years, he knew what he was talking about. Many times he'd do that. Many times he'd call me and say, Pastor, let's get together for prayer. And we'd meet at church early and we'd get down and pray. And listen, I learned a tremendous amount about the ministry from that man on his knees. More than one time he taught in his prayers to me. Such a godly, wise man in the way he gave me direction as a young pastor. But here, a compliment from the people. You will say the same thing about godly deacons. You will give compliments to people about the deacons that's been in your life. It's sad to say, from time to time, you're going to hear other stories. I know one time I was visiting, and I was talking to this man, inviting him to church. He said, do you know Mr. So-and-so? And I said, no, I don't believe I know him. He said, well, he's the deacon right up here at this church, and it was another church in the area. I said, I don't know him. He said, well, that's good. That's good. Because if he's going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. Even though I don't care if he is a deacon. I know that he drinks. I know he smokes. I know he runs around his wife. And if he's a deacon and get to heaven, I'll get to heaven. And of course, my witness into the man had been negated by a deacon in the area. I'm sure that man was not going to receive very many compliments, not from the community, and probably not if he's that kind of man. He wasn't going to receive very many compliments from the people at the church. But the reward of a deacon should be when his position, his rank is concluded, he gets a compliment from the people and from the pastor. But you know, I think the most important thing when the conclusion of position, when this rank, when he's used and when he's served in the office position well, not only a compliment from the people and from the pastor, but a commendation from the precious Savior. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And I said this last time when we were looking at the requirements. I said this to every young man in here. I said it should be your desire as a young man or as an older man, whatever age you are, it should be your desires that the qualifications for a deacon be in your life. Should be. That you strive to become the type of man that God can use wherever and however He can use you. But if you're not a person striving to have these qualities in your life, you're not going to be able to be used because the opportunity, the door for use for you may not ever open. But to think of standing at the judgment seat of Christ and stand there as a man that's been a deacon for years and the precious Lord not be able to say to you, well done, you deeked well. That would be a sad thing to happen, wouldn't it? Not be able to receive that. When you're supposed to have been doing it, but you didn't receive it. Here, the rewards of the deacon. First of all, the conclusion of position. One of compliment. One of commendation. Notice secondly, as we look down at this passage of Scripture in verse number 13. Not only did he purchase to themselves a good degree, then it says, in great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Not only do we see the conclusion of position, which is a compliment from the people, pastor, and a commendation from the precious Lord. But number two here, the confidence of proclamation. It says that he, again, the word purchase carries over to this verse, of this phrase as well. He's purchased great boldness. He's acquired, he's obtained great boldness. And the word boldness here literally means an outspokenness. An outspokenness. It means a boldness, a confidence, a courage, a fearlessness, a frankness. All those words are definitions of this word boldness. And it's something that has been gained, something that has been acquired. Why? Because of the faithful fulfilling of responsibilities as a deacon. This confidence of proclamation. Notice, what is this boldness in? Notice what it says here in verse number 13. Great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What is that? That's the reason why my point is the confidence of proclamation. What do you think this person is doing, walking around keeping his mouth shut when he has an opportunity to talk about Christ? No. When he has an opportunity, and he may even make the opportunity because he is bold. If we're so timid that we always wait until there's no question about an opportunity, I can guarantee you there's not going to be very many opportunities. I mean, this is upfront evangelism right here, I think. This is upfront testimony right here. This is not shy and you know, where you just don't look anybody in the face. No, this is in your face, in your eyes. Here's my testimony. Let me tell you about Christ. Now, that's not rude, crude, and mean. That's just bold. That's just confidence. That's courage. That's fearlessness. Now, that is what has happened here to the deacon that has served in the position well. He has gained this confidence of proclamation. Talk about Christ and tell people about Christ. Now, that's pretty strong statements here in chapter number 3. Consider the time. Consider the place. Ephesus. One of the most wicked cities on the face of the earth. In a time period when Christians were not on every corner as, quote, they are in America. And really, when it comes to boldness of proclamation, confidence of proclamation, we really have it pretty easy in America because so many people are friendly to the gospel. We have it good. Now imagine a place where you get mocked and made fun of and even maybe run out of town for giving an open, bold gospel witness. That's where we're talking about here now in 1 Timothy chapter 3. That was a time period for these deacons. Right? That's what we're dealing with. But here we see the reward of the deacon is the conclusion of position, a compliment and a commendation, and then the confidence of proclamation. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of confidence? Most Christians that I meet, they want that kind of confidence of meeting people and talking about Christ, just boldly talking about Christ. Well, it comes from a lot of these other things. See, these other characteristics, the requirements, the things that we've looked at here in this chapter and over in Acts, all of it yields this confidence of proclamation. You don't usually have this kind of confidence unless you're doing these other things. Unless you have the character that was revealed here, the season and the soberness, all that goes in to a man being one that develops, acquires, gains to himself this confidence of proclamation. You want to be the man that has this kind of confidence of proclamation? Determined to be the kind of man that has the character that this man is. And you will end up as the man that has this type of confidence. Guarantee it. It will happen. That's the biblical deacon. There's requirements for him. There's responsibilities for him. We also see that there is a result of him. But he also has rewards. And see, when the blessing, when a church has this kind of deacons, I can guarantee you one thing. That the rewards just sort of spill over into the congregation of people. When you have a church house full of godly deacons, you're going to have young boys grow up in that church that sees godly deacons. It's going, you know, they want to be like him. I've told you as we came through this study the kind of deacons that I grew up under. Not one time where I look at them and say, boy, I want to be like them. Why? It was a common knowledge that they were ungodly men. I never wanted to be. Even when I was lost, I didn't want to be like them. They were hypocrites. But when you have godly men within the church house, your sons can grow up wanting to be like the deacons that you have. Your grandsons can grow up wanting to be like the deacons that you have when you have godly deacons. And I thank God for the deacons that God has given this church.